Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
Well, grab a hold of your Bibles and let's begin to just walk through the Word a little bit together this morning. As you see, I've got this, obviously everybody's attention went right here when I began to bring this out. I'm going, what's going to happen here? What's going on? And so I'll flip that over in just a minute, but I wanted to really just take you on a journey this morning with me. I believe that God has given me a word that I'm trying not to qualify, meaning that it's a simple word. It's a simple word. And I tell you the biggest, I feel like a lot of times like a broken record. If you've heard me, and it's funny when I say, so I'll say to somebody, I feel like a broken record. I've been saying this for a couple of years now. And what's really interesting is when they look at you and go, I don't think I've heard you say that before. And I'm like, how many times do you have to repeat something before it becomes like a broken record? And a lot of time for us as those that are speaking or those that are sharing or, you know, even teaching your kids, that sometimes it can feel like I've said this so many different times. And yet it's a matter of putting something fresh and new upon even that which is a simple word. So today I have a simple word for us, but I want to bring it out in a different way. Before I do, I want to share a little bit of a testimony. You want to hear a testimony? And so Pastor Claude kind of stole a little bit of the thunder last week, didn't steal a lot of it, but he was going to ask me to come share that testimony, if you remember. And I knew that I was preaching today, so I wanted to keep it for today. But this testimony is something that to me is kind of remarkable. I thank the Lord for all the financial testimonies that we've talked about today, but this is a little bit different. This took a risk on my part, and yet was really nothing really at all in that sense. But when I look at this, I think about, so you hear me struggling right now trying to get this out. What it is I don't want to advertise my business right now, okay? This is, so I'm figuring out how to tell you this story without advertising a little on-side kind of thing and whatnot. So I don't know how to do it, so I'm just going to say it, okay? So there it is. I love to make art. I don't know if any of you have seen my art that I love to make. I cannot believe that I get to call myself an artist. It's shocking. I cannot draw worth beans. If you want me to draw something, it's a stick figure, and it's really bad stick figure. I don't know how you can mess up a stick figure, but I can mess up a stick figure if I start to draw. I never saw myself as an artist. And then I started one day on this journey of playing with wood. And I call it playing with wood because truly it is for me. It's just something that I do for stress relief. I do for enjoyment. And it's a journey. I know that when some people hear me say this, they will be confused. But every time Holy Spirit and I go along and we create something brand new. And I don't want to sound religious in that. I just want you to understand that when I thought I couldn't do it, the Holy Spirit was right there with me to sit there and go, well, let's try this. Let's try that. Do you know that accomplishing something will take you to fail something many times? It just will. If you are a perfectionist, you will rarely do something new because you are afraid a lot of times that this something new you're going to try, you're not going to be able to do really well. But if you've seen some of the stuff that I've put in the garbage can, you would be like, oh, can he even do anything? Seriously. And yet, because when people look and they see some of the stuff and they're like, wow, how did you figure out? How did you do that? How did you do that? How did you do this? And I'm like, you should have saw the other two before we got to here. They don't look so good. Okay. But there's this journey of walking through and being able to say, okay, Lord, you know what? I want to do something new. I want to jump out in faith and do something new. And there is so for me, I began this taking it from just building things to actually doing art. And I began to build these mountain scene art. And I was, you know, it's one of those deals where you step back and go, who did that? That's kind of cool. You know, how did that happen? You know, and it's kind of like, you know, just put a bunch of wood down there and this happened. No. Okay, there was this sense of this process of walking through. And so I do this stuff, and I have this little side business, and so I have these things. And someone walked up to me and said, I want to buy one of these specific ones, that one right there. And so I didn't think anything of it. I said, yeah, sure. That one's actually gone, so I'll make you a new one. So I made a new one, and everyone's different. And so I made this new one, and I thought that this was for this particular person. And so when this person came to, or we were talking and they were going to pick it up, they asked me a question that I'm really good at keeping my face so it doesn't go. It just usually goes all the time, so we're good. But in that moment, they said to me, would you be willing to go with me? I feel like I bought this for someone else and I want to give it to them. And I was wondering if you would go with me just and share with them. And my first split second response was, are you kidding me? What? Like with the art, with the thing. And yet immediately Holy Spirit began to change my, like not even seconds into it, began to change my heart. And out of my mouth comes these words that even shocked me. Yes, I would love to do that. And I'm looking, okay, you're not getting it. Okay. Yes, I would love to do that. I'm wondering who said that. Okay, in the moment, because I'm about to do something. And so even up to now, we went on holidays afterwards, and it was a couple of weeks later, and we walk in, and the individual says to me, hey, you know, do you still feel like you want to do this? And I'm like, you know what, let's do it. And I got the greatest privilege in the world to walk into somebody's home and begin just to share about the love of God. Do you know that it had very little with what I said? But it turns out to be more about how I said it. It turns out to be more about the demonstration of love than it does even about the words that were spoken. I tell you, in this world we live in right now and in this day we live in, people are looking and they are longing for someone to give them a word of hope, for someone to give them a word of encouragement, for someone, and it sounds so strange, but someone just to simply tell them that God loves them. Do you know how much that can change somebody's viewpoint? When you just simply begin to say that, when you begin to speak that, and the Holy Spirit gives you other words and it begins to change and transform. But for me, this journey that I want to take you on this morning, it takes us in a little bit of the same situation, same direction, but it changes it up just a little bit. I am a firm believer right now that in this time that we live in this day that we are in right now, that we need to know what we believe. I say it again. In this time right now, we need to absolutely have concrete inside of us what we believe. And that doesn't mean that we don't transition. It doesn't mean we don't learn. It doesn't mean that we don't grow, because I will never stop growing. But I have to have this firm sense of what I believe inside of me, or else somebody else will come along and tell me what I believe. Now, come on, I said that was good, okay, in there, that somebody else would come along and tell me what I'm going to believe. But you see, circumstances and situations, and this is what I want to talk about today. Does anybody know when I say restoring the foundations? Do you know that ministry? Just put up your hand and show me. Does anybody know Theophostic ministry? Put up your hand and show me, okay, in there. And I know that most all of you, and some of you might not, but know what Sozo ministry is, correct, right? In there. You've all experienced them. Well, all of these ministries really have thoroughly affected my life. They impacted my life. But the one thing that they all sort of talk about, they all sort of agree in, is this. Now, I want you to look at this, and this might be something you might want to write down in there. But it is the experience, belief, expectation. Now, they call it different things, different parts of the ministries. They call them different things. But if we can catch this morning, I believe it will give us some tools that we need. And I'm hoping you can all see this. Can everybody see those words? You can all see them. Okay, good. So here's how this works, simply put. And I'll share it with you from my experience. I think some of you have heard me say this before, but I was in a church and I was the pastor in that church. And I had somebody walk up to me. Actually, what they did is they walked out of the service as I was teaching, huffing and puffing, and really trying to blow my house down, okay, in there, if you know what I'm saying, okay, in that. They were just, I mean, you know, it wasn't just even like, gotta get up and go. It was like, You know, these guys, you knew something was wrong. You knew that not only did they not agree with me, or not only did they were upset. The funny thing is I'd never seen this person until 2 weeks before that, and they showed up on both Wednesday nights. They never came to our church. I don't even know to this day who this person is, but they left with a huff and a puff. And when they came back the next time, and when they did the same thing at the end, I basically closed everything quickly, and because I was so curious, and I ran out and I wanted to talk to this person. I just wanted to ask them if they were okay and wanted to know what was wrong. I was one of those deals where I really, until I got out there, I was like, Lord, what am I doing out here when I was out here in the midst of this? But in that situation, I just needed to know. And as I stood there, this lady turned to me and she said this to me. She said, do you have any idea that you can't teach? He goes, do you have any idea that you can't teach? And I went, apparently not. So explain this to me in here. And she said, yeah, I've never heard someone teach so poorly as you do. And it's one of those things where you wonder if this is really happening, or is this just a dream and you're about to wake up, or a nightmare, really, right? And she then, I'm not even going to go into the rest of it, but she then began to instruct me, and it wasn't even about content. It was about mostly about being boring and about not being able to communicate. And I went inside at that moment, and here's the problem. I had this experience that told me something. I had this experience right here where somebody told me at that moment that I couldn't teach. So a few years later, maybe even a year later, I did this, the DISC personality, and you can find out what your traits are. Well, there's another one that really kind of shows you whether and where your strengths are when it comes to the fivefold. And so this is prophet, this is pastor, this is basically apostle, and this is evangelist and teacher. And so you do this one, and from this thing that you do, you get a scorecard in the end, really, that kind of talks about where your strengths are. So remember my situation, okay? That thing that happened, I struggled from that day on to really teach. I struggled. I began to believe the lie that was spoken over me, that I was boring and that I was confusing and that I just couldn't teach. Now, somebody would say you could preach really well, but you can't teach. And so I bought the lie, unfortunately, that day, hook, line, and sinker. And I began to, my experience then began to form a belief system. So you got to understand that. So this is what I was going through at this moment. So I take this test, and it gives me the order. Pastor, number one at the top, like just slightly below that is prophet. And then a little bit below that was apostle. And then basically about down to here, if you'd say on the scale, was evangelist. And then somewhere down, barely breaking into the number category, was teacher. See, here's the thing. So that then began to reinforce, and I began to have a belief then that I can't teach. And so what happened to me then in this process, in this time, is that my expectation, and see, here's what had to happen when I was particularly in this church, I would preach over 150 times a year. At this particular place, I was the only pastor that was there. And what would happen would be is I would have to teach. Notice I said have to, and that was because that's what it became. I would have to, instead of get to, have to teach on Wednesday nights every single week. So when that Wednesday night would come, the whole week from Sunday, so you're talking about Monday, Tuesday, I would dread having to begin to teach on Wednesday night, because this experience had begun to then, and then this other thing that I had done began to reinforce the fact within me that gave me a belief system that I could not teach. And then that began to put an expectation in me that I was going to bomb. Have you ever had your heart pounds so fast that someone, it looks like someone could probably see it pound in your shirt. Like, or it pounds so fast that you actually get a little dizzy. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, in this, maybe some of you don't, but you're so nervous, so filled with anxiety, because at this moment you believe as you're about to stand up and teach, you don't have a hope. You're going to mess up so bad. And so what happens is my expectation was then for nothing. I didn't expect anything really to happen when I began to teach. And so my behavior was, let's get this done and over with as quickly as possible. Just got to get out of here. And what would happen then is, what was that? How do you think I taught in that environment? Did I do well? No. See, then people saw the fact that I wasn't giving this the time, that my experience, in other words, what they were getting from me was, they saw me not putting as much time into this. They saw me, the fact of being afraid. They saw me focus. They saw me mess up. They saw me so nervous that they could not, that they weren't receiving anything from me in this moment, which then gave them an experience, which if they translated that experience to me would then reinforce my belief system, which would take me down to my expectations, would even become lower. And you can see where this cycle goes and goes and goes. So here's the thing. This disc program, it's not even the disc, it's another different style of it. But that wasn't the problem, because here's what's really funny. Many years later, I came to Antioch. Been here now, I think, 13. And I came here, and I was expected to teach at different times, especially in the beginning. And what is it hilarious is that God asks me to go from a senior pastor to become a children's pastor. What do you do most often when you're dealing with children or ministering to children? You teach. Okay, in there. And so you're put into this situation. Give me a few years of being here, and I retook the test. I retook the test. The test, when it came back out again, said, prophet, pastor, apostle, evangelist, teacher. The teacher went from being in the basement hardly, because see, here's the thing. I was answering all the questions in the test from my belief system that I could not teach. So here's what I'm trying to get at today with all of this. That I believe that this is something that for all of us to see. That we've had experiences in our lives, and whether they are from childhood or whatever it would be, they develop something. And I was joking with Pastor Jay because he asked me what I was preaching. And I said, I'm going to preach on UGBs. And he was like, flying what? No. UGBs, which are ungodly beliefs, okay, in there. And so the idea in this is to understand where the ungodly beliefs have come into our mind. And they have been basically from here, from these experiences, that we have this ungodly belief. So let me give you another example. That if, when, for we've gone to pray for healing, and if you've not been healed and you've had that experience, it can begin to create a belief system that God doesn't necessarily want to heal you. He'll heal other people, and you're excited about that, but he's not necessarily wanting to heal you. And what that does is that begins to creep in here. And most of us don't sit there and decide. We don't go, you know what? I'm going to believe this today. I don't really know a lot of people that these things are created in one circumstances. They are created from experience after experience after experience. Okay. And so what happens then is this belief system is that God does heal. I've seen it. I've seen it in the Bible. I've seen other people heal. But I don't necessarily know that he's going to heal me. And so then what happens is our expectation is that he's probably not going to heal me. And then our behavior then, if we're not careful, can become, I'm not really sure I believe in healing anymore. And then it begins then when it have a whole cycle of experiences. Now here's the key. And I am so grateful for so many of these ministries that are out there. That really walk you through these things. But here's how things have to change. To break this cycle, you have got to intervene right here. In order to break this cycle, you have got to intervene between experience and belief. So here's the thing. When you have an experience, and then most of them we're talking about right now, I'll get into the good stuff in a second here, but the negative experience. If you have a negative experience, you have to ask yourself the question, what does this thing want me to believe? Even what is the enemy? Not that the enemy even maybe did this, but what does the enemy want me to believe from this experience? What is he trying to shape me by this experience? What is it that I am supposed to, this is what the whole intent is. And then what we need to do at this moment is we have to stop and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because the truth in the matter is this, it's not just, listen, it's right here that we have to stop it. Because I don't know about you, but I haven't found that many of my experiences are changing. I still come across people that are like the lady that I met. And you know what? I'm sure that she has got an unbelievable amount of pain in her life. And that's why she was like that. I'm sure that she had gone through this experience for her and she was stuck in the middle of this. But you know what? Now, after all these years, I don't need these. I don't want negative experiences in my life. You know what I'm talking about, right? But when they come, they're not going to shape or change my belief system. See, here's the thing. I don't need these to change to be happy. My joy comes from here. Hear me? Most of us are experienced. If you walk into a room and somebody is just so excited, it's because something has happened that they're excited about. If you see somebody and they look like their face is on the ground and they're dragging it along as they go, it's usually because something has happened. Right? In those moments. Now, that's not to say that these aren't real experiences. I'm not talking about the just burying your head in the sand and saying, no, this just didn't happen. No, the idea is, this is what the enemy wants me to believe about this, but what is God saying about this situation? What is his plan? That's the key. I know I preached this about a month ago, somewhat along this line, but God has a plan. He has a purpose for you in the midst of all of these things. But see, to me, I think that there's even a little bit, and hear me, I'm not saying that I know better than a lot of these that really come up with these strategies or come up with these ministries. And I think that they'd probably agree because I've read so much in the different things. But here's even before, rather than trying to intervene all the time and break a pattern, I want to build a belief system that doesn't allow a negative pattern. Do you hear me? I want to have a belief system so that when something negative happens in my life, I immediately have a belief system that says, I trust my God has a plan. When somebody says to me, you can't teach, you just can't do that. What has to happen is I have to sit there and I have to do this thing. Even right now, I have experienced these things before. Every once in a while, what happens is that you all don't know that sometimes how it can affect somebody who's speaking. I'm sitting where you're sitting and you're doing this. Hey, it kind of tells me something, okay, in there. Now, the idea in the midst of this is I can't let that situation, because I don't know whether you've been up all night. I don't know whether you have been basically had a really tough week. I don't know that you're not going through the greatest stress you've ever had and you just walked into the presence of God and you just feel like you need a nap. Come on now. I don't know where you are. And so the key in all of these situations is to stop judging each other in the midst of this and to recognize that even though this has happened, my God has a plan. I was really bad when we were first, Karen and I were first married. Man, I was really bad at this. But it was something where if the car, and I've told you this before, if my car went clunk, 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 I'd be like, oh my Lord, we need a new car. How am I going to do this? I'm going to have to go down and get a loan. I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to do that. I was ready to drive these cars that simply went clunk, clunk, clunk over to the wrecker. And I would get to the garage and my brain would be saying, that's going to be a $3,000 bill. How in the world? And I would, come on now, you're looking at me like you never do any of this. I know some of you do this. Okay. But you sit there and have this and you get to the mechanic and he says, you wouldn't believe what I found. There was this marble
that got stuck. It must have been from the kids that was in the trunk. And it was just rolling around. And I got it out, free of charge, on you go. And you walk away going, sorry, Lord. yeah, sorry about that. Do you know what I'm talking about in those moments? What it has to be is that my belief system has to be, no matter what this is going to cost, my God has an ability. Come on now. No matter what is needed in this situation, my God has the ability. Come on now. That's the way it needs to become. It needs to become a belief system that we have that's so strong and so powerful that it begins to really put a block here automatically, that these experiences don't define. And most importantly, they don't define who my God is. See, bad experiences do not define how good my God is. I'll say it again to you. Bad experiences do not define how good my God is. There's a scripture. I'm going to try to stay on my notes here. Let me just read you this. We need to recognize that what these experiences are trying to achieve, not only the negative, but the positive experiences. There was, you've heard this story too, I'm sure, but there was a man that I grew up that we jokingly say that maybe is why I'm like this, where I know it's actually genetics. But this man used to come up. I was a little boy and I had lots of blonde hair. You want to see golden blonde hair. I had golden blonde. I know some of you are wondering. Okay. But it was golden blonde hair and there was lots of it. Okay. And there, every once in a while, I still do this. It's only been 30 years. Okay. The idea though in this is this man used to come up to me and he'd go, can I do it? Yeah. He's like, don't do it. He'd come up and he'd go, you're such a good boy, Rodney. You are going to do amazing things. I would see him at church. He'd be like, you're such a good boy, Rodney. You're going to do amazing things. I would gravitate towards that man. I would go find his hand. Seriously. I got it at home all the time. I got it constantly at home. But for some reason, when that man used to sit there and go, you're such a good boy, Rodney. You're going to do great things. He didn't mean that I was going to be the Prime Minister of Canada, great things kind of concept. He meant, because he would talk to me, just little tiny words about my heart. And when he would see me worship beside my dad at this little tiny church in Tottenham, he would come over and he would say to me, I saw you worshiping, Rodney. You're such a good boy. God has so many great things for you. You see, those experiences, what did they do? They began to form a belief system in me. To think somebody else's words could do that. Encouragement could do that. That those words at that time, and they began to put an expectation in me that what? That I was going to do something great for God. And what would happen then is my behavior would be that no matter what the situation is, I knew God was going to turn it around because I was going to do something great for God. You know, that is that sense of what positive words or what that's the sense of beginning to speak over someone does. There is, let me just give you just a little bit here for a second. And it's about belief systems. How many of you are in agreement with me that it's very important that we have good belief systems? Amen. And you know what? We don't all have to be the same, exactly the same. I value different places and that bring different messages at times. But I'm talking about belief systems that are a little bit different than theology, even somewhat. But it's a belief system that's this. I have a belief system that was taught to me in Genesis. Take your Bibles and go over with me to Genesis. It seems that this in this church, once you come here, if you don't adopt Genesis chapter 1 as one of your theme verses, well, you know, who knows what's going to happen in there. Because that's just what happens. Ever since I've come here, it's been like Genesis. Okay, we're going to go to Genesis in this. But I want to show you where one of my belief systems is in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says this. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on to say, and this is verse 2, it shows the basically what is going wrong. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So this is the situation right now. This is pretty, you'd say, dire. Darkness is everywhere. There's void. There is loss. There is lack. There is all of these things that are all over, not just in one place, but all over the face of the earth that this is going on. And then it says, and the Holy Spirit began to brood or begin to hover, if you'd say, over the earth. And then this happened. And then he says this, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Light is the beginning of change. If you've got a situation in your life, you need to invite the light to change the situation. You need to expect God to begin to speak over your situation. See, for me, this is a belief system that I will say it this way. I wish it was 100%, but it's not quite there yet. It's getting there because I realize all of a sudden when I start thinking like an orphan, then all of a sudden I don't think like God anymore. If I feel like I start thinking like I don't belong, I don't think like God anymore. All of these things happen in there. But when I think of this, I think of God loves to create. Going back to when I said at the beginning of my story, Holy Spirit and I creating. What a blast. It's so much fun to do this. But when I look at him, he's a little bit better than me. He's a whole lot better than me. But when I think about it, see, when I have a chaos, God's got a plan. And his plan is for me to stop and invite in the light. If I was to ask you, turn out all the lights, I won't because there's lots of kids here right now and I don't want them to be startled. But if I was to turn out the lights, and there was filled darkness, and we had all the windows closed. And I would say to you, command the darkness to go. And just keep telling the darkness where to go. Keep telling the darkness where to go. How would we get rid of the darkness in this room? We would flick the switch and turn on the light. We would, in other words, speak light over. Darkness leaves when light comes. See, this is so key in my life. That when I approach darkness, now don't misunderstand me. If darkness is going to come against me, there are moments in my life where I will stand up and I will speak in the name of Jesus. But hear me, the way for me to deal with darkness is allow the light of God to shine in the situation. Come on now. So if you've been, I felt like this is a word for someone. If you've had an experience over the last, I would say it's probably been at least 4.5 months. If you've had a very negative experience that has cost you financially, and not only that, this experience has kind of shaken you a little bit in your trust factor, can I encourage you that that experience is trying to shape your belief system? And what we have to do is we have to begin to say, hang on a second, God, you're the only one that shapes my belief system. So I'm going to stop and I'm going to invite the light. I'm going to invite the light to bring about such transformation and such change that I see in Genesis that the chaos leaves and light brings new life. See, this is what happens after light comes. Is all the new creation starts. It's so cool. God didn't create us in darkness. He got rid of the darkness to bring life. And it's something that for me, when I see it, it's so very important. It's a part of who I am that I believe. So here's I want to be practical this morning, and I can't even see the clock. We're going to have to figure out how we can see the clock back there. But here's the idea. When trauma happens, when a negative situation happens, can I ask you to learn to do something? I'm not being presumptuous as that my way is the only way. But can I ask you to do something? Stop. And invite the light. Just for a second. So when something happens, stop. Holy Spirit, I invite you into this situation right now. My ears are tuned into what you're saying and what you're doing. Because I believe, God, you have a plan. Amen? There is something about God and his plans. When I think of Goliath coming, God's plan was this little boy, really 17, 18 years old. His name was David. That was God's plan for Goliath. when I think of Egypt and being in bondage, that God's plan for Egypt and being in bondage and to set them free was Moses. That was God's plan at that time. When I think of the fact of how bad God's city of Israel was, or city of Jerusalem, sorry, was, and how bad it was and how dilapidated the walls were, but God's plan was Nehemiah in that situation. When I think about Nineveh, I love reading Jonah's stories. You think about Nineveh, God's plan for Nineveh was Jonah. That was his plan. Now we know that God already made the way and God was going to use Jonah, if you understand my words in this. But when I look then and I see a church that's being persecuted, what's God's plan? Paul. How crazy. The one that is doing all the persecution. Can you imagine beforehand if they all could just stop and peek into the heaven and what was going to happen? Yeah, that one over there, let's use him. Let's transform him. But everybody freaks out when Saul comes around. I mean, they're just running for the hills. Yeah, let's use him. And Saul has this transformational experience and becomes Paul, and God begins to use him. Esther, used by God in this same situation. I want to close with this morning, and I need you to grab your Bibles because I know it's familiar, but I don't want you to do it by memory. I want you to read it in your Bible. Jeremiah 29:11. See, I can only just basically just a little bit of touching what these belief systems that we need to have. So one of them for me then is this, is that God has a plan. And his plan is now. God wants to use us in this plan. Now here, when we look at Jeremiah 29:11, this is what it says. Now I know it's a familiar verse, but follow with me. For I know the plans. What does God have for us? Plans. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil or for destruction or for disaster, depending upon what your translation says. And then it says to give you a future and a hope. See, that's always God's plan, is to give us a future and to give us a hope. But what he wants to do is he wants to use you. So in conclusion today, this is what I want you to grasp. I want you to get. John 8:12 says this. It says, I am the light of the world. And Jesus is talking here. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. Then it says here, though, later on, if you go down and you go over to Matthew 5, and verse 14, what does Jesus do? He says, now you are the light of the world. So here's the deal that I'm asking you. And I think it's as simple as this. When calamity comes, when you're not sure of something, when disaster seems to be there, when bad experiences seem to come, can I encourage you to stop and invite the light of the Holy Spirit to begin to change the darkness? Now here's the hard part. Would you be willing even today to say, Lord, change my heart because there's some darkness there. There's a little bit of chaos there. There's a little bit of offense there. There's a little bit of anger there. There's a little bit of frustration there. And you stop just for a second. Just close your eyes and just say, Lord, I invite your light now to come into my heart. Holy Spirit, I invite your light to come into our hearts right now, to expose these circumstances, these situations, these experiences that have caused us to believe anything less than you want. And lastly, we say today, here I am, Lord. I will be the light of the world for you. That I will change circumstances and situations for you. Here I am, Lord. Bring healing into those traumatic situations like you did for me, Lord, that I had to have healing from that situation that happened. But in the midst of it, If my belief system would have been strong enough then, it still would have needed healing, but it maybe wouldn't have taken me out so long. God, I pray that today that we go on a journey over this next season to say, Lord, these are the things that we believe. These are the things that are so very important to have in our lives to reach the world around us. Like Isaiah, when he says that God said to them, who will go for us? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. God, I pray again as we hear your words today saying, who will go for us? Who will be a part of your plan? Then, Lord, we say, here am I. God, use me. Here am I, Lord. Use me to begin to transform this world around me. In your name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.